I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 31. We're going to read verses 10 to 31. So really, verses 10 to the end of the chapter, to the end of Proverbs. Back at Oak Glen in Lansing, Illinois, I've been working on a series out of Proverbs. And as I was doing some research on this book, there was one person who said there's about 65 themes that come out of Proverbs. Well, I'm not going to be carrying on, even at Oak Glen, a 65-week theme or sermon series on that. But there are a number of things out of Proverbs that that we can gain and glean, and it's remarkable how we can see Christ in the Proverbs once we take a moment to look at it deeply and study it hard. So I thought I would take one of those sermons that I preached a couple of weeks ago on the 31st Proverbs chapter, dealing with the gracious, as I call it here, the gracious treasure of the godly woman. And you may notice in your bulletins that there's also a number of passages that I've joined with the theme and the sermon title, even though it's not in Proverbs 31. It's dealing with other proverbs that lend themselves to this same kind of theme that we're going to be looking at today. I've tried to do that also throughout my series, is that I try to take a main body of text and then take with it some different verses, because as you know, a lot of times the themes in Proverbs repeat themselves, and I thought it just would be easier, rather than for us to be flipping and pointing to every place in Proverbs, to have a few of them listed there on a sheet for you, for your convenience, I hope, but hopefully also lending itself to the body of work that's at hand for us and with us from Proverbs 31. So we're going to read from there, and I pray that it may be a blessing for you to receive the ministry of the Word today. Proverbs 31, starting with verse 10 then. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She gives him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. And she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes herself strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow, for her household and for all her household, and for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates while he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. So that's as far as we're going to be reading from God's Word this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we read this passage that we cited out of Proverbs 31, we can be tempted to think that the passage is disconnected from us. Now, I know and I realize that it speaks about family, it speaks about husbands, it speaks about boys and girls or children, people to which we can relate. But when you read from this passage, you can come away thinking, well, who in the world can live up to this? Who can live up to this ideal? Or you could come away thinking, well, you know, I'm not a woman, so what does this have to do with me? So we can view it as either too high of an ideal for us to attain, or simply just not in the circle of our existence. I'm not a woman. So you know what, I'm going to head to somewhere else in Scripture to find something that's a little bit more applicable for me. And yet we can all gain from this passage by God's blessing, if for no other reason than that all Scripture is profitable for us, for teaching, for reproof, for training in righteousness. And all Scripture is profitable in directing our attention to the covenant God in Jesus Christ, whose power at work in our lives to save and to sanctify can make a remarkable difference in our lives, whether we're a man, woman, or a child. And that's certainly part of what you see here, because this person that's being described here is somebody who has been transformed by the power of God to be this kind of person. It's a person who fears the Lord. It's somebody who has had the power of God, the grace of God, placed upon them, and who is focusing their attention on that gracious God as they live their spiritual life. So I hope and pray that you'll find this to be the case as well, that you can find something here in Proverbs 1 or Proverbs 31 as we work our way through this passage. A passage that does speak to us about the gracious treasure of a godly woman. And we're going to be looking at three things that flow, I think, through this portion of God's Word. We're going to be looking at her value, we're going to be looking at her actions, and we're going to be looking at her praise. Okay, so we're going to be looking at her value, we're going to be looking at her action, and we're going to be looking at her praise. So first of all, we're going to look at her value. We can follow, again, this outline as we follow the flow of the text. The passage says to us at the beginning, an excellent wife, who can find? She is to be considered far more precious than jewels. The passage speaks to us of this excellent wife who is most precious. And when we hear that language, and maybe this is part of the place where we sit there and say, well, how can we attain to something like this? We might, first of all, when we hear this language, who can find, as if it's some kind of impossibility. How can I be this kind of person? Where can I find a person like this? There must not be anybody who's like this. An excellent wife. Who can find? And yet the person of which the writer speaks is someone that we understand by the time that we get to the end of this passage in verse 30, that this is a person who fears the Lord, right? Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Fearing the Lord is not impossible. Certainly not for the grace of God to bring about. True that we wouldn't fear the Lord or trust the Lord, left to ourselves. But what the writer wants to emphasize is not that such a woman as so described here is impossible to find or impossible to be, but rather is a priceless person. Such are priceless because they fear the Lord by grace. By the grace of God. They're priceless for what they do. They're priceless because despite the efforts of men either to buy a woman in perversion or take a woman who doesn't belong to him, such women are gifts. Certainly by the hands of godly fathers who give them in marriage, but most importantly, or more importantly, they are gifts that are given by God. And that's certainly something that you see if you look at this sheet. If you look at number 5, right? You hear a foolish son is ruined to his father, wife's quarreling is a continuing dripping of rain. House and wealth are inherited from father, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Even number 4, right? You hear, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. They are gifts that are given by God. Gifts because of how He has worked His grace in their lives through true faith. But gifts also as those who are able to be the kind of benefit that they are to the men to whom they are given. And that is certainly something Proverbs 31 speaks about when it says they do good for their husbands all the days of their life. Verse 12, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. At this stage of the passage, and considering some of the other passages to which we refer, it is this value of the wise woman, of the godly woman who fears the Lord, that it needs to be kept in mind for everybody who reads this. Whether it is those who are potential mates of others as women, those who are wives, those who are looking, those as men who are looking for the kind of woman that they should be marrying, or those who are already married as husbands, married to women that they know, fear the Lord. See, when we marry in the Lord, or when we are aspiring to marry in the Lord, whether we are a man or a woman, the value that God places upon a God-fearing woman who is either an actual wife or could be a potential wife shouldn't be ignored, shouldn't be underestimated, shouldn't be undervalued by their husbands or their potential husbands. But then that value should also not be ignored or underestimated by women either. Whenever and however we sin against our wives of faith, by our attitudes, by our words, by our actions, what we are doing, you see, is we are forgetting how precious our wives are to us as a gift from God. When we sin against them, we are acting like they are not worth much. When in reality, they are to be considered precious commodities in our sight, as if they were prized jewels that were given to us by the grace of God. Worth more to us, short of the grace of God, than anything that the world has to offer. And so you won't find on eBay, and you won't find with your buddies, and you won't find with your coworkers, and you won't find with another woman, someone or something more precious than she. And you cannot. Because she is a gift that came to you from the storehouses of God. Christian husbands need to treat their wives then as the precious gift they are from God. Thankful to the Lord for them, but also cherishing them so greatly that their love for their bride will be, albeit palely, that which will mirror the sacrificial love of Christ for His bride, the church. Now, at the same time, a man aspiring to marry, and maybe there are young adults out there, you're thinking that yourself, you know, well, I'm looking to get married, I'd like to get married. Well, in order to determine if the woman that you are courting is a gift of God, you need to discover that the woman that has drawn your attention, you need to see whether she fears the Lord. That she is a believer in the covenant God in Jesus Christ. And if you cannot discover that, if you cannot ascertain that, then the one that you're courting or dating is not the gift from God that you might otherwise think that she is. Now, on the flip side, women who fear the Lord and know that they are God's gifts to their husbands need to keep in mind this remarkable thought that they are agents of the covenant God Himself who remains faithful to His people. Just as we hear in this verse 12 again, she does Him good and not harm all the days of her life. That's a weighty calling that each wife carries, or that those who might aspire to be married must carry. Is she willing? And you have to ask yourself that as a woman or one aspiring to be a wife. Am I willing to be used by God as His gift to my respective husband or to this man that I'm desiring to marry in the Lord? Am I willing to be that? Do I see myself as that? The church has been given the calling as the bride of Christ to devote herself to her faithful bridegroom, which is a most precious calling. That's the essence of our lives as the church, as part of the Church of Jesus Christ. The value that the covenant and faithful God in Jesus Christ has placed on a God-fearing woman to be His gift to her husband is remarkable. It's rich. It's incredibly high. Such an honor calls God-fearing women to be the kind of women that husbands need. A woman who is faithful and dependable. You know, unlike the contentious woman or the quarreling woman that we hear about in Proverbs, who knows nothing like, again, we see in number 5, who knows nothing but arguing, or as one who brings shame and rottenness in the bones, or one who tears down one's home rather than builds it up because they're busybodies, or they are unfaithful, or they're undependable. Unlike those women of Proverbs that are spoken about, this woman, this wise woman, this God-fearing woman, she wants to be good to her husband all her days. And it's not that the godly woman, then, that is described here, is impossible to find. It's just that when she's found, she's priceless. She's God's gift, whose prudence, whose relationship with God in Jesus Christ will make her a blessing to her husband that no amount of silver or gold or stuff or others could ever attain. So we see something here about the value of this godly woman. What about her actions? Well, we can divide her actions in this passage, her wise actions, we might say, into two categories. And they're remarkable categories in part because if you were to look at the communion of the saints and the calling that we as people in the Church of Jesus Christ have, and of course the wife is a type of what the church is supposed to be. You know, the church, if you look in the confessions, they'll say that we are those who gain from the bridegroom. We share in Christ and all His gifts. But then we're also to be readily and cheerfully ready to give of what we have received to the benefit of others in the body, right? Well, that is something that is mirrored in the godly wife, the God-fearing wife, the wise wife that we see in Proverbs 31. There are these remarkable categories that are laid out there because just like in the communion of the saints, just like with the bride of Christ, she has this calling. And she, we see that laid out here as one who both gains and also one who gives. The communion of the saints does that, and so does the godly wife, who's that type of the Church of Jesus Christ anyway. And we can see these two areas of action in Proverbs 31, gain and giving, in two sections of this passage. Proverbs 31, 13 to 18 talks about her gaining. Proverbs 31, 20 to 27 talks about what she gives. And verse 19 is kind of like a seam that connects the two sections together. And what we see about the godly wife who fears the Lord is that in her household then, she both produces and she provides. She's both constructive and she's contributing. She labors in order to give. And that really reminds us, doesn't us all, about really our callings in the Church of Jesus Christ, right? I mean, Ephesians 4 tells us that we are to be laboring, doing what's useful with our hands in order that we may be able to give, right? She labors so she's able to give. And especially with her household in mind. Now, that gaining section of which I spoke about from verses 13 to 18, the gaining section has a pattern to it, as does the giving portion does. But if you look in verses 13 to 18 a little bit more carefully, you'll find some key words. And those words are these: palms or hands, trade, and night. They repeat themselves. You see that. Verse 13, she works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She trades. Okay, the idea there is that she's trading. And she rises, it says, while at night. Okay, so those three verses, or those three key words, they get repeated. And you see that in the next number of verses. In verse 16, with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength, makes herself strong. She perceives that her merchandise, that which is tradable, is profitable. And her lamp doesn't go out at night. So you see that, right? There's hands, there's trade, and then there's nighttime that are mentioned. And that's all to point out that this is one section that we ought to focus on. And what we find at the bottom line here is her productive activity, to her productive activity, is that what she's able to gain is food and drink. Right? She's able to provide, she's able to produce food, she's able to produce drink. Now, it says that she provides food for her household and portions for her maiden, but the idea there is really more like she seeks it out. It's like she goes out and finds it, like a, in essence, like a lioness goes after her prey. She is going out to see to it that she's productive. And then along with that, in the planting of the vineyard, she's finding herself being resourceful. She is able to gain food and drink, which she can supply for her family. Bottom line is, she is a productive woman. That's what stands out about her initially. She builds up her house that way. She prospers, she endures, and unlike the wicked, her lamp, we read in verse 18, doesn't go out at night. Now, if you were to go through a number of different passages out of Proverbs, you'd find that it's the wicked whose lamp goes out. One example would be Proverbs 13:9. Where it says, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. You can find that in verse 20 of chapter 20, verse 20 of chapter 24 as well. But the idea there being that unlike the wicked, her lamp doesn't go out. Her name endures. She shows herself, you see, to be a resourceful person. She's not somebody who is going to destroy her house by illicit activity, by being sidetracked in her calling, in being a busybody who all she can do is sit there and chatter to everybody else instead of being busy what she's supposed to be busy with. She's not the faithless bride. But actually what she does is she ends up resembling the faithful church when you read in Revelation, whose lampstands aren't snuffed out. You might even tie it to the foolish virgins in the parable that Jesus brings who run out of oil, and whose lamps are not burning when he comes. Now, how that gaining or that productivity will occur from woman to woman, your mileage may vary. And that you need to take solace in, I would say. That productivity is going to vary from woman to woman who fears the Lord. But productive you will be as such a woman because you fear the Lord. And because you're devoted to your household and you're devoted to your husband as the gift of God that you're called to be. That's what this woman's about, this woman who fears the Lord. And we see that that's so, not just by what she gains, but what she gives. And that's what you see in verses, especially in verses 20 to 27. That's what she's doing in that second section of her actions. Now, if you look closely in that passage, you would see that if you were to center verses 20 to 27, if you got to the core of that section, the core of that section speaks about the fact that her husband is honored at the gate. That's in verse 23. That's at the center of this section. So at the core of everything that she does in that section, we read that her husband is honored at the gate. But it's not because of who he is, but because of what his wife has been. In terms of what she has given, because that's what surrounds that portion of God's Word. What she has given is seen in her generosity to the poor, the peace that she gives to her household, how she laughs at the future. And she knows the peace she gives and knows because of how she has provided for herself and for her children. And even in the quality of work that she gives to the merchants. What she gives is not only in what she's done, but also what she has said in wisdom that reflects her actions. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Not just what she's been doing, it's what she's been saying. At the core, though, her actions have brought honor to her husband by others. They see what she's done. They see that she's been a blessing to her household, to which they both belong as husband and wife, and they can see the blessing that she has been to her husband to whom she's devoted. And so what happens here is you in a wisdom of attitude, of action, and of deed, the godly woman who fears the Lord as a gift from God has displayed what it means to be an excellent wife for everybody to see. They can't help but see it. Not just in what she's gained, but what she has to give. And what the Church of Jesus Christ is called to do is similar. As the bride of Christ, we're called not just to rejoice in what has been given to us, and maybe to ask the question, well, when am I going to get something more? What have you done for me lately? We're not just to rejoice in what has been given to us in the treasures of the bridegroom, but also to be those who are givers in the household of faith devoted to Christ. So we can say to ourselves, well, what have I been to somebody lately? This is the attitude of Christ's bride, the church, that's to be found in every woman who is not only devoted to her Savior, but devoted to her household as a faithful bride, as a faithful woman, as a faithful wife who fears the Lord. Now, such value and such action calls for recognition, and that's what this passage speaks about as well. It speaks not just about value, it speaks not just about action, but it also speaks about praise for this woman. For this godly woman, for this woman who fears the Lord. Our passage says, her children rise up, in verse 28, to call her blessed. And her husband is going to treat her as the greatest woman that ever walked the face of the earth. What is called upon here is really nothing new for children, for you boys and girls that are here, or those of you who are young people, or young adults, or grown-up children. It's still in the spirit of the fifth commandment, isn't it, to honor your mother, to acknowledge these things about our God-fearing mothers. Is that the way that your mother has been to you? If there was anywhere that a woman of this stature deserved praise, it would be from those who are closest to her. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Some children, young people, young adults, full adults, don't know what it means to show that kind of honor. Either because they've walked away from their mother's godly teaching or example, or it could simply be that it's been a while since their mothers have heard their children honor them so. They deserve that praise from you, children. Scriptures remind us of that. Husbands, who have been recipients of such God-fearing wives, we can learn a great lesson from this passage. And we can carry it out over and over and over again. Because when women might be thinking that they cannot attain to such high ideals, you can make the difference. You husbands can be the ones that tell them, in honor to them, for all that they have done for you, that they are this woman. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. You can tell them that. Why? Because the woman that you married, by God's grace, fears the Lord. You know that you have a woman who fits this, who has been given to you, that has been this way to you in one form or another. You tell them that they are the greatest of women. You tell them that. Don't hide it from them. Don't make them guess. Don't presume it. You tell them. You tell them they are that ideal. And they are. If they were given to you from God. And you'll never get a better one. You will never get a better one. Because she's the one that God gave you. And He doesn't make mistakes. And He gives lavishly to those whom He loves. Tell them that. As with all our deeds, they go before us. And that's true for us all. It doesn't have to be a woman. Not only will a godly woman be praised by those close to her, others cannot help but see their good deeds. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. We spend way too much time in society and spending money praising what people look like and very little time praising godly character and Christian faith. You know, when's the last time you ever seen in Hollywood people flashing bulbs at people walking down some red carpet, flashing bulbs at women and saying, "Oh, there goes a woman with great character. And she fears the Lord. Let's take pictures of her." No. Society only cares what you look like. And they don't care about what God has done for you. Society spends way too much time, and we can easily spend way too much time looking at how people look like rather than praising godly character and Christian faith, because that counts for so much more. And even if people want to think ill of us as Christian people, what we need to be doing, whether women or not, is live lives for the sake of the Lord, in reverence for the Lord, in honor for the Lord, in praise of what He has done for us, covenantally for us in Jesus Christ. We need to live lives for the sake of the Lord and for the sake of our families so that people will never have justification to speak ill of us except as a lie. Perhaps such a life of faith will be the opportunity for people to see that the reason that our lives are praiseworthy is because we're praising the Lord for His goodness to us. And that's not just something for wives to be thinking about. That's something for us all to think about. And so whether we're married or not, and whether we're women or not, whether we are young or we're old or we're in between, the teaching of the woman of Proverbs 31 can be a benefit to us all. As we consider her value, as we consider her actions, as we consider her praise, as we consider our marriages, our character, our callings, to be faithful, to be devoted as part of the bride of Christ, the church of Christ, the faithful bridegroom of His people. Amen.